Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Friends, welcome. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, director of Priests for Life, one of the nation's largest pro-life groups. Thank you for coming to Praying for America. That's what we're going to do here. We have a lot to pray about. We know how to make our country great again. We know how to win elections. We've got to work on this harder than ever before. And I'm going to give you a little bit of an insight into some of the developments on some of the issues that have some people scared, but we really shouldn't be afraid at all. We've got to take new courage and move forward in this battle. So just a few reflections on some of the cultural issues involved in this election. I want to go to, as we always do, to the Word of God to start our program off tonight, Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 26. Jesus says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the rooftops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, then. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Let us pray. Lord, we acknowledge tonight that making America great again requires speaking up. Saving our nation and praying for America requires speaking for America and speaking up for the gospel values on which America has been based from its founding. Lord, give us your spirit of courage, the spirit who gives speech to our lips. As we recall his coming at Pentecost, Lord God, we remember that he came as tongues of fire, tongues imparting passionate speech to those men who until then were afraid. Passionate speech that enabled people to hear the good news in their own languages. Passionate speech that has continued for over 2,000 years of the proclamation of the gospel. Bless us, Father, that the praying that we do for America may always translate into speaking for America with the courage and with the confidence that you ask us to have in your word and in your message. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, they're cowards. Those who are on the wrong side of the social issues in this election, in this nation, are essentially cowards. And I want you to understand that and let it inspire you with the confidence that we should have. I'm going to start here by referring to a post that Charlie Kirk put up recently. You know, we just had this ridiculous scenario at Easter time with Biden proclaiming it as the day of transgender visibility. Now, Is this not just a confirmation of everything that we've been saying, that the Democrat Party hates our values and that this election is, as more and more citizens have been saying, clearly just good versus evil, and it's like transcends all other divisions that we have, and therefore it demands a spiritual response. Okay, we know all of that. But now look at this. Charlie mentions There are 145 days on the calendar. Now, a year only has 365 days. There's 145 days on the calendar celebrating in one way or another LGBTQ. These people are cowards. They don't believe, they don't think that they have the American people. And they're like frantic little children demanding attention. You know, I fly a lot. And you know what gets attention on an airplane when you've got a child who, I mean, it's not just crying. I had it recently, I had two of these experiences where, and God bless the children, of course, obviously we love them. But to have a baby, you know, like screaming nonstop on a plane, that gets everybody's attention. Now, this is what these people are like in these cultural battles. Listen, I just want to go through this list because what does this show? This shows that their immaturity, their frantic yelling and screaming for attention. It's not based on any solid argument, persuasive moral principle, or even on the conviction that they enjoy the support of public opinion. This is just ranting. I mean, it gets to the point where it's just irrational. Just listen to this. All right, February 19th to 25th, Aromantic Spectrum Awareness Week. What in the world does that even mean? These people are insane. Nothing what they're saying is rational at all. Any more irrational than denying a man is a man or a woman is a woman. There's the irrationality. And by the way, as I always say, it's rooted in a 50-year denial that a baby is a baby. You say a baby in the womb is not a baby. What do you mean? You can't just divorce and reject that biological reality. And yet, here we are. March 21 to 25, LGBTQIA+ Health Awareness Week. March 31st, we just had it, Transgender Day of Visibility. April 6th, International Asexuality Day. Excuse me? April 13th, International Day of Pink, Day Opposing Homophobia. April 14th, Day of Silence. April 26th, Lesbian Visibility Day. May 17th, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. May 19th, Agender Pride Day. Without gender, Agender Pride Day. May 22nd, Harvey Milk Day. I don't know. May 25th, Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day. And by the way, how do you promote awareness about something like that? Entire month of June, Pride Month. Oh yeah, here we go. June 23rd, Stonewall Day. June 28th, International LGBTQ+ Day. We didn't have enough days already. July 14th, International Non-Binary People Day. July 16th, just 2 days later, in case you forgot, International Drag Day. September 16th to 23rd, Bisexual Awareness Week. September 23rd, Celebrate Bisexuality Day. Entire month of October, LGBT History Month. October 8th, International Lesbian Day, as in case you missed the Lesbian Awareness Day. October 11th, National Coming Out Day. October 17th to 24th, Gender Fluid Visibility Week. How do you actually show gender fluid visibility? These people are sick. October 19th, International Pronoun Day. October 19th, Spirit Day. Support for LGBTQ+ youth. October 23rd to 29th, Asexual Awareness Week. October 26th, Intersex Awareness Day. Entire month of November, Trans Awareness Month, in case you missed all the other Trans Awareness Days. November 5th, Transparent Day. Not transparent, but Transparent Day. November 8th, Intersex Day of Remembrance. November 13th to 19th, Transgender Awareness Week. Oh, yeah. Oh, we need to be made aware. As if all the other ones didn't exist. November 20th, Transgender Day of Remembrance. And this isn't even a complete list. Brothers and sisters, You know, something I've been preaching for years is that our society, now this may sound strange, but let me explain it for you. Our society is not obsessed with sex. It's afraid of it. To understand human sexuality, you've got to understand God. It starts with God. He made it. God created us male and female. And it's beautiful. And it's holy. God creates, and what he creates is good. So many of you, unlike myself, are married. You know the challenges of married life, but oh, you know the joys as well, including the physical intimacy. It's a blessing, the joy of having children. When marriage is lived according to God's plan, when families are built according to God's design, when human sexuality is accepted and lived according to the will of God, nothing's more beautiful, joyful, and fulfilling. But also nothing requires more sacrifice. And this is where, when I assert that society is afraid of sex, in fact, look at even some of the words here, the phrases, asexuality. A means not. You're asexual. No. No human being is asexual. That's like saying I'm aphysical. Yeah, but I am physical. You can't change that. So you can't say you're asexual. They're afraid of it, brothers and sisters. What are they afraid of exactly? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in the life of God, you've got three persons who are pouring themselves out in love for one another. It's all about self-giving. Now, anybody who knows anything about life, you get through your day, you get through your responsibilities, you live your calling in life. How? There's no escape from it. Giving yourself away in love. Spouse says to spouse, I'm giving myself to you. Parents say to children, I'm sacrificing myself for you. Clergy say to their congregations, anyone in public service says to the public they serve, I'm giving myself to you. My time, my efforts, my sacrifice, and it's often not easy. It's not meant to be easy, otherwise it wouldn't be sacrifice. And all of this summed up, of course, in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which he gives himself to us most completely. Well, brothers and sisters, that's the essence of every vocation. What our society is afraid of in regard to sex is the fact that in its inherent meaning, it's all tied in with self-giving, not with the accumulation of pleasure. Pleasure is an aspect of it that obviously God has built in to ensure the continuation of the species. But sacrifice is just this built into it as well. And that's what a lazy, pleasure-driven, godless society is precisely afraid of. Human sexuality, properly understood and lived, fuels and is marked by sacrifice. And sacrifice and love, properly lived, leads to God. They're afraid of that. Because it's not something they can control. It's not something that is just a pleasure machine. It's not something they can commodify. And it means growth and maturity. This is immaturity. This is a child sitting there screaming and ranting and getting people's attention. What is this? It's so irrational. The language is irrational. The amount of attention that they're seeking to grab is irrational. And it's just filled with irrationality. They're cowards. They don't accept the truth. They can't abide by the truth. They're afraid of the real meaning of human sexuality. And so what we're left with is an angry, irrational rant. Now, let me tie this in with another issue. As you know, I work full-time on the abortion issue, and I want to update you about some developments that took place here in Florida just the other day. Our Supreme, because this also has implications for our national elections, and I want you to think clearly about this too. Again, continuing the theme, that while the other side may sometimes look formidable, powerful, victorious in various ways. Understand, they're cowards. On the abortion issue. Okay, so the Florida Supreme Court issued two decisions that we've been awaiting for a long time. First of all, over the last 2 years, we have passed two significant laws, much like half of the states in the United States since the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Half the states, approximately, have introduced measures to increase the protection we give to children in the womb. Americans want less abortion, not more. And so we've got a scenario here where states have been moving in the direction of providing more protections for the unborn. In Florida, 2 years ago, we had a bill signed into law by Governor DeSantis that protects babies starting at 15 weeks of the pregnancy. Then last year, he signed another pro-life bill that the legislature, remember, this is the legislature obviously giving it to him, and therefore there's an expression here of the will of the people. A bill that said, because they weren't voted out of office in between, right? The midterm elections of 2022, the voters didn't punish the pro-life legislators for having introduced that law, as again happened in other states as well, limiting abortion to 15 weeks instead of having it throughout pregnancy. And then last year, limiting it further to 6 weeks. Now, we think about limits, restrictions, bans. It's better to talk about protection because that's what these laws are providing. Protection to the weakest children. Okay. But neither one of these laws went into effect because, as they always do, the pro-abortion side, almost always do, the pro-abortion side challenged these laws in court. And here's what their argument was. The Florida Constitution provides a right to privacy that includes abortion. Now, if that argument sounds familiar, it should, because that's what Roe versus Wade said on the federal level, except that the Supreme Court changed that. The Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade and said, no, we were mistaken. Privacy does not include abortion. And so what happened was the Supreme Court of Florida, taking its cue from the Supreme Court of the United States, said no to Planned Parenthood, who had introduced this court case. No, we're not going to block this law. We're going to allow it to go into effect. It's legitimately enacted law by the will of the people and their lawmakers, because privacy doesn't include abortion. Now, this ties into something that we need to be able to say across this nation, because various other states either have or are trying to have on the ballot this November measures that would say there's a constitutional right to abortion in the state constitution. The pro-abortion side lost that acknowledgement of that right in the federal constitution. But what the Supreme Court said when they did that was, hey, it's nowhere in our history. You folks are coming along with something that you're inventing out of thin air. Nowhere in the text of any constitution, nor in the history. Now, we're not only talking about the history of the U.S. Constitution. What they're saying is the history of every single one of the state constitutions. You've never had the acknowledgement of a right to abortion. So why are you going to start forcing that in there now? You can always pass a bill. You can always craft a law. Get the input of the people, get the input of the legislators. There's lobbying, there's hearings, there's evidence, there's questions, there's counter questions, there's witnesses on both sides of the issue. People can hear about it, people can weigh in on it. That's how these things should be decided, and that's what the U.S. Supreme Court said. Leave it to the people and their elected representatives. So Florida is allowing these pro-life laws to go into effect. 15-week protection in effect right away, and then after a few more weeks, the 6-week protection. Again, call it a protection, not a ban. All right. What was the other decision that came out of the Florida Supreme Court on the very same day, at the very same moment? The pro-abortion side has a ballot initiative that they've been trying to. They collected signatures, and they want it to be on the ballot in November here in Florida, inserting into the Constitution a right to abortion. Now, in practice, even though they try to say, oh, it's up until viability. In practice, when you take all the jurisprudence of regarding abortion and the way that these phrases are interpreted, it would allow essentially unlimited abortion. The voters obviously don't want that because we just had two laws that are protecting the unborn. But this ballot initiative was challenged through our attorney general saying it's not clear enough. For example, allowing abortion until point of viability. What point exactly is that? You think the voters understand that what we're talking about here, you're talking about the viability of the pregnancy, because people use that word to refer to whether the pregnancy is going to continue, and usually the questions of viability of the pregnancy are occurring in the first trimester. Or you're talking about the viability of the baby, which has gone lower and lower in age from about 28 weeks back at the time of Roe v. Wade, but over these last 50 years it's been reduced to more like 22 weeks. Babies start surviving even at 21 weeks. I've met some of them. Brothers and sisters, the point is, the Attorney General was saying, you know, that and various other provisions of this aren't clear enough, because if a voter thinks that they're voting to keep abortion available until 12 weeks, that's a very different thing than if they think they're keeping it available till 24 weeks. The court unfortunately said, no, we're going to allow the ballot to go on, the initiative to go on the ballot. We think it's clear enough. Okay, people strongly disagree with that assessment, but the fact of the matter is that we'll have that on the ballot. I don't think that this is going to be the kind of winning issue for the Democrats that they are hoping it will be, because remember, they won some ballot initiatives in the midterm elections, and by the way, it was not, as some people describe it, oh, people in seven states choosing for there to be a right to abortion. No, that's not what it was in all those seven cases, but we'll go into that another time. It wasn't as unambiguous a pro-choice victory as some make it sound. But the point is that they're overestimating the strength of this issue, because this is not a midterm election year. This is a presidential election year. Far more people come out to vote in a presidential election year. We are redder and redder here in Florida. We've been breaking all kinds of records in terms of the numbers of Republicans registered and the margin of advantage that we have over Democrats. And there's another element in this presidential election year, of course, which is that President Trump is on the ballot. And that will bring out a lot of unlikely voters. You know, we do a lot of polling based on likely voters. You got to look at the unlikely voters. He brings out a lot of unlikely voters. And by and large, I'm not saying that this is the case 100%. It's not 100%. But by and large, these people are going to be on the right side of these social and cultural issues. We've got a lot of work to do to educate people as to what these things mean. But what do I mean when I say the other side are cowards? Two things. One of them I've explained to you before is that, look, they're bypassing the legislative process. When you put something into the Constitution, you're not just setting a policy. You're saying all the laws going forward from this point on have to be within these boundaries. And if you say you can't limit or restrict or delay abortion, then no pro-life laws can be introduced to do anything like that. So why would you stifle the debate? Because they're cowards. They don't want to have the debate. What's what we got to see through here? They're angry that Roe v. Wade was reversed, because now the issue is actually thrown back to the American people and their lawmakers to debate. The other side doesn't want to have a debate on this. And listen, you understand well, this is the same thing with the other issues too. They don't want to have an honest debate about what's going on at the border. They don't even want to look at the border. The Democrats don't want to go to the border. They don't want people to see what's happening at the border. They don't want to admit what's happening at the border. Understand, they're cowards about that. They're cowards about all these other issues. And they are the same way on abortion. Don't think that, oh, they can't win by talking about the border, so they'll win by talking about abortion. No. Abortion's in the same categories. What I'm trying to explain to you is they're just as cowardly about that. They put on a bravado. Oh, yeah, let's bring the abortion issue front and center because we can win on it, except that they don't talk about abortion. The strategy, the cowardice is the same, and their modus operandi is the same. It's just a little twist of difference is that they make a pretense of talking about abortion, but they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. Reproductive rights, reproductive freedom. You look at the speeches, they're doing this abortion tour, Kamala Harris is going around, reproductive freedom tour, giving all these speeches. She visited an abortion facility. Biden gives his speeches about reproductive freedom. He mentions it in the State of the Union, mentions that. What is the killing of these babies? He didn't express it in those terms. Before he mentions the overriding problem of the border, immigration, crime, etc., their priorities are all screwed up. But they don't talk about what abortion is. And that's how we make this a winning issue for us. It's like, you guys want to describe what you defend? They never describe what they defend. They're cowards about it. That's our strength. That's their weakness. Women don't get abortions because of freedom of choice. They get them because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. You want to talk about abortion? Let's talk about how to help these women choose life. We're the ones who are serving them. We have 4 times as many pregnancy centers as the other side has abortion clinics. We're the ones that are helping these people. And most Americans agree that it's a good thing when a mother has her baby instead of kills her baby. We've got the people with us on that, brothers and sisters. And when a politician comes forward, when a candidate comes forward and says, look, I'm pro-life and I want to help moms say yes to the life of their babies. I want to help them. Yes, I admit of some exceptions. President Trump has been saying that. All the pro-life presidents have said that. And just about every pro-life candidate. That doesn't mean that they're saying it's morally acceptable. They're saying, I can't make progress in the political arena without taking account of where the people actually are at, because that's how politics and public policy making work. It's not a moral compromise. It's just an acknowledgement of where people are at. So what I'm saying is, and we did some polling on this, Priests for Life with the McLaughlin polling company, giving people the option between, would you rather vote for a candidate who says, I'm for abortion without any restrictions, or I'm pro-life, I have some exceptions, but I'm working to help women actually have their babies? Yes, people prefer the pro-life candidate. In our poll, it showed 61% to 24%. The other side are cowards. They don't want to actually talk about abortion. They certainly wouldn't want you to ever see an abortion. They don't describe what they defend. They pretend to want this issue to be front and center. But if we come back and challenge them and say, you want to make it front and center, then we're going to do exactly that. And we're going to talk about and we're going to show you what an abortion is. They lose. Look at abortion.org is a website you can use. Challenge your fellow citizens. Challenge the candidates. Challenge these pro-abortion forces promoting all these ballot initiatives. Just challenge them. Look at abortion. Describe what you defend. You will put them on the defensive and you will show the other voters, because remember, it's always about the third party listening. It's not necessarily they're going to convert the person you're talking to. It's about you want to show the other voters what's really going on here. They will see, wow, these people can't even describe what they're defending. They must not be so convinced of that. We can win this. Have confidence. Okay. EndAbortionFlorida.us if you want more information on the specifics of what's been going on here in Florida. EndAbortionFlorida.us is one of our key websites. Let's go back to prayer. Father, we're fighting dangerous opponents, but we also see their cowardice. We hear your word, Lord God, that what you have whispered to us in secret, we are to proclaim from the rooftops. Our founders knew this. Our founders lived this. They proclaimed liberty. They proclaimed your truth. They proclaimed life and the right to life. Father, give a voice to your people that we who face cowardly enemies may be the courageous voice of truth, the courageous voice of freedom, the courageous voice of family, the courageous voice of the right to life, the courageous voice of America. We pray for America tonight. Father, send your Holy Spirit into every nook and cranny of this country, into the minds and hearts of every voter in this country, into the minds and hearts of every candidate. Strengthen the will, strengthen the soul, strengthen the heart of all those working to make America great again. Bless especially President Trump, his team, his family, and bless each of us. We are running for the presidency. As President Trump reminds us, we are the ones running to be the 47th president of the United States, because this is about power being given to the people. Give power, Lord God, back to the people of America, whether it's the unborn and their right to live, whether it's small businesses and their right to flourish, whether it's people living in their communities with the right to be safe, whether it's parents with the right to choose the school that they know will be best for their children. In these and countless other ways, the freedom to express our convictions and to practice our religion, so many different ways, the power is being given back to the people. Strengthen us today, Lord, with that, and bless us as we work for America. And now we use the words that our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, friends. Please let other people know about Praying for America. Please know that we're praying for you each day. We thank you for your prayers. Connect with our ministry at our main website, endabortion.us. And remember, never be afraid of this issue. We're on the winning team. We're on the winning track if we're courageous and clear and compassionate and unwavering. God bless you for what you do for America. We'll talk to you soon.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.